Well, hey, Martha and Anthony. Welcome to the roundtable.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa.
Great to have our team here in the studio as we get to break it down. You just heard Jimmy Collins, former president of Chick-fil-A, talking about his book, Creative Followership, and 35 principles he has for making that happen. Many of them super unique, and they're all just kind of fun, and he peppers it with great stories. We actually heard him, as I said, in the culture, heard him here at Focus on the Family and got to glean from his wisdom. So now we're going to talk about how this applies to us. And I think this is great because we're actually in a season as we are preparing for Pursuit, and we hope you are registering, boundless.org/pursuit. Do it, people. No, we're looking forward to having you here, and we're so excited. But in this season of Pursuit, we are kind of in an all-hands-on-deck mode where it's kind of like we're not even sure which of us is accomplishing certain tasks some days. So it's kind of that opportunity, as you heard Jimmy say, to do things, you know, do beyond what is expected, to do what other people don't want to do. And so I think we're all having the opportunity to live that out. But let's talk a little bit now. We're going to talk about bosses and our experience with bosses and what creative followership means to us. And the first question I want to ask you, too, is when you think of boss, and it doesn't have to be like right now, but historically, what really comes to mind first?
My 3.5-year-old daughter Sophia comes to mind first.
Oh. She boss or bossy?
She's very bossy. She orders me around.
Oh, yeah. She might be a CEO someday then.
Yeah.
Might be the case. You may be working for her. I don't know. You're going to have to see.
About
that.
Indeed.
Okay.
I actually first think of my dad because he was my first boss working on the farm.
Okay.
When the turkeys and I would say he was a good boss. I probably started when I was like 8 or 9 years old and actually got paid for my work, which makes for a good boss.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I think for me, it's kind of I always have that traditional picture in my mind from like the TV bosses or just, you know, what you assume is the stereotypical boss. But after years, I would say now 10, almost 15 years of being a boss, I have much more sympathy for bosses. And I feel like I have a much more rounded approach. I'm not just this person that's always like telling people what to do, but kind of really is responsible in both ends of a chain for reporting to someone. We always have someone above us unless we're God. But then also, you know, leading well. And it seems like there's so much more opportunity out there now to hone your skills and to become a better leader and become all of that. It's almost overwhelming sometimes. So in light of that, and in light of the fact that we just heard Jimmy Collins talk about followership, what would you guys describe as your following style? When you think of what he said about being a follower, is that like, are you just like, I don't want to be a follower? Or are you like, I get to follow? How do you feel about followership?
Yeah, Anthony, you were just saying the other day how you're like the lion personality type, which is not follower at all.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm curious to hear what you have to say.
Well, that personality type isn't necessarily anti-following. And I like to lead, but like I've always been very comfortable where if it's not my job or just not necessary, I don't feel the need to like take over things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love working for great bosses, and I guess my style would be to look for things that no one's paying attention to, areas where I can take initiative, and then also just to support the boss and basically do whatever I can to make the projects and the team work together well. I'll try to always bring like humor and a positive attitude to the teams I'm working with. So that's kind of one of my contributions.
Mm-hmm. I'd say that's true. Mm-hmm. I think for me, I very much take personal responsibility very seriously. And so I like to know exactly what's expected of me. And then I want to be trusted to deliver that on time, exceeding expectations, hopefully. And yeah, so my following style might be more trust me and I'll come through for you.
Mm. Yeah, I think I'm kind of because I'm a high, what we're talking about with Anthony's personality is the DISC test, you know, the lion, otter, beaver golden retriever, and I'm also have a strong lion as well with an otter. And I think it's been very freeing for me to understand that there are some things that I can be empowered with, and I can be in charge of those things. I don't have to be in charge of everything. You know, I don't want to be in charge of everything. And I'm not really someone who's a huge fan of titles or, you know, you've been given this authority because you make X amount of dollars or whatever. I think that's a kind of an old school thought that I've always bucked against a little bit, maybe because of my personality. But I do appreciate competence, and I love having a great team that gets things done. What did you guys feel about Jimmy's comment about people quitting bad bosses? Have you had experiences where you've just been like, yeah, this needs to change or something's going to have to give here?
Definitely. And the only thing I would like disagree with in that is that not every job transition is because of a bad boss, you know. Mm-hmm. Most of mine have been because I moved or college or or whatever. So, but I definitely, in fact, I've been super blessed. So I've only ever left the job because of a boss once. And I think he was insane. So I think literally insane. So I definitely quit him and not the job. Mm-hmm. Though the job was also like the hardest job I've ever had in my life, physically. Hmm. But mostly I've had amazing relationships with bosses, and so it's never been an issue.
Mm-hmm. I think for me it's often more the mission of what I'm doing that's more important than necessarily who I'm working for. Hmm. So I haven't left a bad boss before.
Feeling like, yet.
Yet.
We'll see how this pans out. I think that is important. I mean, to feel like you're contributing to something. I mean, when I was in the PR world for years and years, I always felt like, man, it was so exciting when I came to work for Focus and I could do PR for a Christian ministry. And not that Jesus needs a PR person, you know, per se, but to be able to contribute to that rather than promoting plastics or promoting computer chips or something like that. That's been a cool thing for me.
I think his point about choosing your boss and hiring your boss is really valid. Mm-hmm. The part about firing your boss comes up and like becomes important when there's a bad relationship. But overall, it seems like with younger generations, the numbers show that people, you know, don't have the idea that they're going to stay in one place forever. Mm-hmm. And so I think that point might be less relevant to millennials or younger generations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. What, just generally speaking, I mean, as we kind of turn a corner here, was there anything else as you guys were listening to Jimmy, what else really resonated with you with what he has to say? Because I think it's an interesting, you know, you two are millennials and we're talking to a largely millennial audience, hearing from a guy who is probably greatest generation, I want to say. He's probably in his late 70s, early 80s at this point. And I think a lot of people can be like, well, that doesn't have anything to do with, you know, what I do. He worked for a corporation for 40 plus years or whatever. But what did you feel was really valuable? I mean, Anthony brought up one point, but...
Yeah, so when I first heard Jimmy speak, honestly, when I heard his book title, you know, Followership, I'm not, like, whenever someone combines two words into a title, I kind of get, like, I kind of assume it's going to be corny. But when I heard him speak, I was deeply impressed. I love the concepts. I haven't finished the book yet, but I will, and I totally recommend it. So I think, like, one of the greatest values he brings is, like, his wisdom and like, really, really great experience and tons of accomplishment. And while there are certain things that might change depending upon generations or economy, certain things that are relative, overall I think his points are just like just truth. Wisdom is wisdom. So I think any young person would benefit greatly from reading these books, because we can often look to people of our own age for advice or for examples. Rock stars of our own age, basically. But there's huge value in receiving from someone who's older and deeply experienced.
Yeah, I was so impressed with his just this idea, and it's something that I associate with that greatest generation, is the idea of just jumping in and getting the job done and doing what people beyond what you're being asked to do. That whole idea. I mean, I think there are so many, even, you know, I could see this in myself when I was younger, of just tell me what to do and I'll do the job. And at 5 o'clock, I need to be out of here because I'm doing dinner with friends. You know, this idea of, are you really contributing in a way that makes a difference and actually grows the business or grows your team or grows, and that, you know, really pitching in and saying, I have things here that I can contribute, and not making it about a kind of a consumeristic mentality of just earning a paycheck.
Yeah.
I think one of the points that was interesting to me from the interview with Jimmy was just the idea of make your boss look good. Because it's when you are an underling, it's like, well, who's making me look good? If I, you know, it's great.
Which is what I threw out to him. I'm just like, yeah.
I mean, if there's a whole chain, that's awesome. But if you're on the bottom of the chain, mm-hmm. it just is kind of sad. So I find that as a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think his point is that, I mean, if you've hired a good boss and you were working hard to make them look good, then, like, my experience has been that it's always been reciprocal. Like, every boss I've had where we have an amazing relationship and I work hard to just, you know, go the extra mile and stuff like that, and like, not wait for them to tell me what to do, they've all given me great references and introduced me to other people and things like that. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I think, like, one of his core premises is that if you approach work with a zero-sum game mentality, then that's the game that you'll play. Mm-hmm. But if you don't, if you approach it as there's plenty for everyone and like we're not always grasping for what's ours, but just doing good work and building good relationships, that good things will come, I guess. Which might sound, that might sound naive, but I think it's true.
Yeah. I think one thing that's also good for bosses or anyone who's in a chain of command, and I think my boss does this well, and I try to implement this, is to give credit where credit is due. And so to say, to don't just assume, you know, because I can often be in the meetings or the settings or the situations where accolades are being given, where praise is being given, recognition is being done. And it's very, you know, you have to be conscious and make it part of your DNA to say, actually, that came from the team, or that was this person, or this is their expertise, you know, and trying to elevate everyone in the process and making it more about team rather than, well, I'm the person out front, so ultimately it's just my, you know, my win or whatever. I think my boss, Greg Smalley, does a great job of doing that and of bringing me to the table for things that he knows I would be responsible for or I'd do well at, and really cultivating those, so...
There was another point of about do what your boss doesn't like to do. And he talked about how that empowers your boss to do what they do as best. Mm-hmm. That's something that I love to find, that niche that I can do my thing and you can do your thing. And mm-hmm. together, it's awesome. Mm-hmm.
And it is great because Martha and I are very different. And so I think that was a huge win on my part when I hired Martha, because and I think I've told Martha this, it probably would have been easier or whatever, to just hire a clone of myself who's like, you know, and whatever, and just so easy to understand. But that's not a good strategic decision. Mm-hmm. I mean, to bring Martha in as someone who not only does other things well and better than I would do, but also enjoys them. And so the things that she's doing are generally things that I probably wouldn't like to do. But the good thing is she likes to do them. Mm. So it ends up being a win in that situation. So,
yeah,
so that's
please
cool.
Don't ever ask me to host a podcast every week.
That may be coming up sometime soon. We'll see.
No, that is a great point.
I do like to do that. I like to stretch people, though. I make people do like... I'm like, hey, why don't you be on this panel instead of me?
Woo. I think it is a fantastic point that, like, Martha being the example again, that it's that perfect place of she's doing what, you know, you don't like to do, but it's also something that she loves to do and does very well. Mm-hmm. Like, I had a job once when I was a teenager landscaping, and I was, like, the best and fastest person at doing this one job. And I did it the best and fastest because I hated it. Mm-hmm. And so I became the one that did that. But it wasn't very sustainable. So mm-hmm. to have both of those parts where mm-hmm. it's something someone else doesn't want to do and you do want to do it, that works nicely.
Yeah. I can't remember who that was that talked about that one time about, you know, don't become so good at something that you hate that people just put you in.
I've learned that lesson a couple times.
More responsibility related to that. What, so let's flip it. You know, we talked about hard bosses and when to quit your boss and how to choose your boss. What's a moment from your past with a boss that was truly like life-giving to you, where you just felt like exponentially you grew personally or professionally, or just something where it was a pivotal moment for you?
Every day with you, Lisa, is that?
Well, let's be honest. That's very true. But, you know, we can also reach back for other examples.
Okay. I remember one assignment I had when I was working with Brio Magazine, where my boss literally sent me to the other side of the world to write an article about human trafficking. I went to Cambodia. Mm-hmm. And I mean, a huge assignment. It's going to be the cover story. Traveling, thankfully, my brother came with me, and so I wasn't traveling alone. But that's something she could have easily just said, I want to go to Cambodia and mm-hmm. I'll probably do a better job at this than Martha will. But she believed in me and trusted me to do it well. And mm-hmm. It was one of my favorite memories from that whole period of my life.
So. Yeah, that's great.
I've had a couple experiences when I was younger and first starting jobs where I felt the need to kind of come to my boss and say, like, you know, hey, should I do this or that or whatever? A couple times they'd be like, nope, this is, I don't care about that. That's your job. That's why I hired you. So, and not in a mean way, but like an encouraging way. Like, you are set free mm-hmm. to do good work. And like it was kind of a light bulb moment for me. And ever since then, I've tried like more and more to just to like look for what needs to be done and do it, not even waiting for people to ask me. Like, numerous times, you know, I'll do things and my bosses aren't even aware of like them ever having happened, or, you know, like at some point I kind of give a report or whatever. But I love that freedom of just like you are able to do good work on your own, so just go do it.
Yeah, I think one for me was just starting out in my career. I was a writer, and my boss told me one day in one of my one-on-ones, she said, well, I hired you because you're better at this job than I am. And I was just, that for me was very game-changing because my assumption was that, you know, this was long before we had all these leadership seminars about hire people who are more competent than you and whatever. I just figured bosses hired people who weren't as competent so they would look good, and then they just use you as the hirelings to get all their dirty work done. But for her to say that and to truly kind of unleash me to do what I did well and to do things differently. She managed people well. She did a great job at that. And she was super, like I said, obviously with that statement, very life-giving in the way she managed people. And I, at the time, as just starting out, was a good writer. You know, that's all. That's what I did. Didn't know a thing about managing people, really. So I just remember that being very pivotal and just saying, wow, I have potential actually to be something beyond my job title. And I thought that was a big deal. Okay, well, so kind of as we wrap up here, I want to ask you guys then, in light of all that, how do you reconcile? Because all of us on some level have dreams, and we all, whether they're career dreams or ultimately, you know, being team dreams or whatever, how do you, and we're told to dream, you know, I mean, how many of us have paid hundreds of dollars to sit in these dream seminars? I mean, we do it. It's the corporate thing. So how do you reconcile your dreams with this concept of followership? And the fear may be that if you become too much of a follower, that's where you'll get stuck the rest of your life, or you'll be like what I asked Jimmy, you know, people will be pegged that. You'll get this reputation at work for being that person. But we all have dreams. So how do you live out your dreams and be truly who you are in light of this?
I don't really have career dreams to be president of Focus on the Family. So I feel like these principles of creative followership and being in an employee role, hopefully as preparation for marriage of how can I make you look good? How can I fill in the gaps here of where you're weak and where I'm strong? Or I think a lot of it applies to that relationship as well.
Yeah. I think Jimmy Collins himself is a fantastic example. I mean, all these principles are drawn from his own life, and he became the CEO, Chick-fil-A.
President
of Chick-fil-A. So, I mean, the guy giving the advice is also the example of why it's not going to just lead you into perpetual serfdom or something like that. For me, I guess I reconcile it that, you know, like I know I'm never playing a zero-sum game. So that principle is huge for me. So I can come and follow, hopefully well, and do good work and support a team. I also have a side business where I'm building that up. And I know that my skills I'm developing now, you know, built into other things in the future, and relationships are the backbone of, like, all success. So, I see no contradiction, no problem whatsoever.
Yeah. You never know how one thing is building on another,
exactly.
You know, and what God has planned. Right. I think that as you get older, you kind of realize you can have your dreams and plans, but God has his dreams and plans.
Yeah.
And trying to work those things together is part of the adventure.
Yeah, I'm just such a huge believer in the biblical concept of being faithful with little. I mean, I think for me that has been, I didn't really know. I mean, I had a liberal arts degree coming out of college. I was kind of like, what do I do with this? Not really sure. I wished I was an accountant because I knew where to look for accountant jobs. So I kind of, you know, went through a season of feeling very much like I was floundering. But I've seen, especially in the last 10 to 15 years, where if God opens doors and I walk through them, how God blesses that. Mm, yeah. And to not sit back and say, well, I'm fearful about this, or I don't know if I let go of this sure thing, am I going to be able to land here and be okay? And I've really grown a ton through taking risks and being willing to, again, whether it's a great opportunity or whether it's kind of some form of dirty work. I mean, I've done both. And I think God honors that and uses our gifts and talents, and if we're, you know, working hard and seeking to grow, other people will notice that as well. And ultimately, it's just God placing us in different assignments. Yeah. You know, it's not us gaining some new title or whatever. I mean, all of this will be gone someday anyway. So,
yeah.
Oh, that sounded kind of defeatist there to finish. Yeah. All of this. We're all going to die, but we'll go to heaven, but not with our jobs. So. Well, good thoughts, you guys. This is good. I mean, I really appreciated Jimmy and what he had to say, and love working with you too.
Likewise.
We're now a team of three.
Mm.
It's great.
Awesome.
Plus some interns coming. We're excited about them too.
Yeah. Next week?
Them we're going to truly make be followers. We're going to find all the stuff we don't want to do and give it to them, and we'll throw them this book so they can get excited about it.
We're going to make up some things just for fun, you know, it's not even part of the job.
Exactly. I definitely have some laundry that is stacked up, and that's going to have to happen. So,
dig a hole, fill it back up, dig another hole.
Exactly.